But before that, Barb Junger. And rather than play an introductory track of some other sort, let's get straight into it. Here is Barb Junger, and I'll let the song speak for itself.
None of them along the line.
Barb Junger and Lawrence Hobgood playing piano and indeed whistling there, and it was Lawrence Hobgood's arrangement. Two songs for the price of one. Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower and Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes. Barb Junger, welcome back to the music show.
Thank you so much. Lovely to speak to you again.
At what point did it occur to you that those two songs fitted together so well?
Well, actually, it was Lawrence. We were sitting by the piano, you know, with the sheet music like you do, and suddenly he went, "Hey, what does this remind you of?" And I went, "Oh, yeah, that's really." And he said, "Woo, you know, we could." And we both went, "Shall we?" And I'd always wanted to sing that other song. He said, "I'd always wanted to sing In Your Eyes," and it never could work because so much of that is a production of the Peter Gabriel version. And actually, once you get beyond that section, it's really all production. And I thought, oh, we could just take the bit that I love. And also, I'm so excited by All Along the Watchtower because I'd kind of, like most people, I guess, never really gone back and looked at it. But it's an extraordinarily prescient song. You know, none of them along the line know what any of it is worth. I feel that's my government right now.
Yes.
None of them along the line know what any of it is worth.
Yes. It's a fantastic song, and it's one of his sort of apocalyptic numbers, isn't it?
I know, I love those, obviously.
Yeah, but it's also, the song scans in exactly the same way as the Peter Gabriel, so that they just fit each other like a glove, and you've kept the Peter Gabriel percussion line, essentially, haven't you?
Yes, I know, our poor percussionist, you know. Right, can you play this exactly, because we want it to sound exactly like that, but then we're going to do this. You just looked at us, you know, I thought, oh, you poor sausage.
And there's no trace of Dylan's original tune, but, you know, that's very much in the spirit of Dylan, isn't it? Because he's constantly going out there and singing a song that you think, I've never heard this before, and then after about a minute and a half, you think, hang on, it's blowing in the wind.
I know. There was a very funny moment. I was at Blackpool watching his show a couple of years ago, and, of course, I was there with the Bobcats, you know, because the whole audience was essentially middle-aged men with quite large beer guts and three pints of beer in two hands. and a song would start and somebody would go, "It's Tangled Up in Blue," and we'd all shout, "It's Tangled Up in Blue," because you had no idea what it was going to be. I loved it so much. I mean, it was as much a kind of social event as concert.
you've been taking Bob Dylan's songs. I mean, we've talked about this before more than once on the music show. You've been taking Bob Dylan's songs for quite some time and turning them into jazz, and now he's getting his revenge, isn't he?
I know.
Plundering the traditional area of the jazz singer. We actually played his version of Skylark last weekend on the music show.
Yeah,
What do you make of all that?
Well, I kind of think he's enjoying himself, and that's fine by me. You know, I think at the age of, he's 70 now, isn't he?
75.
I think, you know, he's 75. Right, well, you're allowed to do what you like. I mean, I kind of think that 60 is the yardstick. I've passed that one myself now, and I sort of think anything's up for grabs. Do what you like, you say what you like.
Yeah, but what do you think of what he's doing? That was my question. Are you being diplomatic?
No, I'm not actually. I haven't heard the new album yet because I've been on the road. So to be fair, it's lying at home. But the one before, I really loved the production and I really loved the idea and the notion of it. I liked it slightly less live, actually, funnily enough. But that was more to do with the band than it was to do with Dylan. It just felt to me like the band were not on a good night, the night I saw them. And I wasn't alone. You know, the audience were, I would say, less enthusiastic than I would have expected. But the album itself, the first of the Great American Songbook albums, I really liked.
Yeah. I mean, what he does, it seems to me, is to go for the words in a very, well, Dylan-esque way. And that in itself is interesting because that means that he ends up reinterpreting the music as well.
Yeah. absolutely. And funnily enough, I saw an interview with him where he said pretty much word for word what I've said, which is when you're singing a song, it's yours. If you go for the song with your whole being, then in the moment you own that song. And he said almost the same thing. And I thought, ah, see, there we are. Bob thinks it too. So there.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN, and I'm talking to Bob Younger. All right, we've talked about Dylan a great deal. Let's talk about Leonard Cohen, because he is equally unlikely, really, isn't he, on the face of it, as the starting point for what you do. But you've been doing this for some time too.
Yeah, I sang Leonard Cohen actually on Bear Again, which is 1998, I think. Mm. And so when people kept coming up to me and going, oh, you don't do any Leonard Cohen, I'd go, no, actually I have. And then on Men I Love, of course, I did Night Comes On. And then with Hard Rain, political and philosophical songs of Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen. So several in there, actually. And that's what I'm playing when I'm here. And I love Leonard Cohen's work and I love his writing. And there's something very interesting about juxtaposing the two of them, about the two of them being next door to each other when you sing them, you know, when you make a collection with them beside each other. You really... you see where they draw on the same well, and you also see where they differ in writing style, and that's fascinating, I think.
And can you put that into words, the difference between their writing styles?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Because with Dylan, what you get is that stream of consciousness, often. I mean, Hard Rain being a really good example of that. And in my version of that, I take out all the gaps that he has in his version, which I always think are there so you can remember the words, and do it as stream of consciousness. And you really see that it just tumbles out like water from a bucket. And there's that wonderful story, and I may get the titles wrong, but it's irrelevant because it's the story story is the important bit. But they meet Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen, and Leonard Cohen says to Bob Dylan, oh, you know, I love, for the sake of argument, Like a Rolling Stone, how long did it take you to write it? And Bob Dylan says, well, you know, a couple of weeks or a month or something like that. He says, oh, I love something that Cohen's done, how long did you take to write it? And Cohen says 3 years. And you can see that difference, actually, when you sing the songs, because Cohen's work is so finely chiselled. As a sculptor, it's very finely hewn. And Dylan's is very roughly hewn. And they, at the end result of them, they're both magnificent and beautiful in different ways. And they both use the same rock, but they chisel differently.
And they've both got remarkably distinctive voices, several of them in Dylan's case, across his career. So do you just put that right out of your head?
Do you mean physical voice, singing?
Yes,
voice?
I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, the music is often quite simple in both cases. The actual, you know, the chords, the melodies and so on. But what they do with their voices is tremendously rich, isn't it?
Mm. Yes, it is. It is, and it's wonderful. And yes, I do put that out of my mind, yeah. Because I take the song just as the song and not as their recording of the song. Their recording of the song stands and it's beautiful and wonderful and I love it. And I think we've talked about this before, but whenever I need to give myself a real hit of Dylan singing, I listen to Isis.
Mm.
Because I just go, oh, we don't talk to me about the man not being able to sing. Listen to that. You know, 38 verses or whatever it is of him just giving you every part of that soul of that song. And Cohen, likewise, Cohen's got such an extraordinary way with that voice. Because it's a limited voice, you know, in the sense of range. But it's not limited in what it's giving you emotionally.
No, not at all. And anyway, I mean, limitations don't matter in a sense, because they can make you stronger, can't they?
Well, I'd agree with that. I'm very much in that frame of mind, yes. I mean, there are all sorts of people with perfect voices and great ranges, and I'm quite happy not to hear them, thanks.
But it forces you to focus as a performer or as a painter or as a composer or whatever you are, if you do what you can do.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
I know we talked about this before as well, about the maleness or potential maleness of the songs in Dylan's case. What about Cohen? Is it ever a problem, or again, is this something that you simply put out of your mind when you decide you're going to own that song?
Yeah, it is. And I think that songs are ungendered, if you like. They're gendered when you sing them, but the minute that you take them on, they're in you and they come out however they're going to come out. And there is something wonderfully liberating to be able to access the inner parts of the song and find out what's going on. Find out, it's you know, it's kind of anatomical, I guess, because you're right inside it and you go, oh my goodness me, this is how that feels. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I love it.
We should talk about Lawrence Hobgood, who has been on this show and played on this show with Kurt Elling, and you got him now. So how has that changed things for you?
It's been very interesting, actually. When we started to, when we met, Lawrence said, oh, I'd really like to work with you because, you know, you sing brilliantly in tune. And I said, really? That's why you want to work with me? And he said, oh, you've no idea what it's like out there, Bob. No idea. And I said, listen, you know, you and I are going to come at this from a different place because you're very busy and I'm emotion driven. So we're both going to be gaining something. I said, because I think, you know, your work with Kurt has been very cool and clever and you're going to go somewhere new with me. And he went, I know. And that was really great. And I knew also that he'd kick my chops, and he really does. You know, it was a wonderful moment where he said to me, I said, I can't come in after that chord. What the hell kind of chord is that to bring me back in? This is after some sort of bridge somewhere. And he said, oh, it's just a fourth above the Lydian something. And I said, listen, that might have worked with Kurt, but that ain't going to work with me, baby. You've got to give me something more to work with. So we've gotten on great. And we were writing together, actually. We've got, on the new album, Shelter from the Storm, we've got three songs. And actually, we've written a new one since then. And the plan is that when we next record, it'll be kind of 90% our own material. Because there's not enough new jazz being written, actually. And we thought, well, why don't we do that? So, you know, I thought, yeah, because life's not long enough, is it, for more things to do?
No, well, indeed. So, and when you've done that, you must come back and talk about it. And we'll talk about you and your music instead of Bob Dylan again. That would be great. I really enjoyed the album, Shelter from the Storm. And we're going to hear another track from it. And we're going to hear a Leonard Cohen song this time, because it's, as you've said, it's Dylan and Cohen that you're singing on this tour and your Hard Rain show. And this is Sisters of Mercy. And maybe you could say something about it, because it goes on a big journey, this song, doesn't it? It's sort of, the first chord is straight out of a hymn. And by the end, it's sort of somewhere in the Caribbean.
I know. I loved what we did with this, and I loved what Lawrence wanted to do, and he very much got what I wanted to do. And I thought, this is such an interesting song, because it's so reverent and it's so sexual and it's so religious. And I just, I thought, well, there's so much in there. And we looked at it, and of course it's got, and he said, oh, can we cut a verse? And I said, no, we can't. He's very keen on cutting verses. I said, no, we can't. It's a journey. We have to make the whole journey. And he said, but we don't have to repeat that. I said, you know, yes, we do. Everything has to be, the text is the text. I'm not a great one for, you know, the people who are now going, oh, Shakespeare's difficult, let's do it in modern language. And I just want to go sit down and eat kippers for a year. You know, how dare you? How dare you? The text is the text. But Lawrence found a way into that. And he's often, I think, quite operatic in the way he goes about presenting ideas. And I loved it, because for me, again, that's exciting as a singer, because you're constantly having to jump with the voice and go somewhere else and then bring it back. And it's really demanding, actually. It's very demanding sing, Shelter from the Storm. By the way, so is Hard Rain. They're demanding sings, and that's great, because you have to work, you know.
Well, we're going to hear you working now. Barb, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you again, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your tour. I'll give our listeners your dates after we've heard this song.
Thank you so much.
Still be all right.
Songs of Hope for Troubled Times is the subtitle of Barb Younger's latest album, Shelter from the Storm. And that was a track from it, Sisters of Mercy, Leonard Cohen, and the arrangement and the piano playing by Lawrence Hobgood. And you can find Barb on Tuesday in Sydney for Vivid. She'll be at The Basement. On Wednesday, she'll be at the Street Theatre in Canberra. On Thursday at the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, right through to Monday, Thursday to Monday, the 13th of June. And on Wednesday and Thursday, the 15th and 16th of June, she'll be at Bird's Basement in Melbourne. And speaking of Birds, the last time that Anoni was on the show, she was called Anthony Hegarty, and of course, she famously wanted to be like a bird, but also said to me, I think that when you sing, you're really in dialogue with all the other singers. It's sort of like being in a big bird cage. We've got a big bird cage on our SoundCloud now. We've added 25 voices to celebrate 25 years of the music show, and they include Anoni and Kurt Elling and Aaron Neville and Marnie Nixon and Tiny Tim. Cleo Lane, Gurumal, Maddie Pryor, Bryn Terwijl, Katie Noonan, James Bowman, Linda Ronstadt. You get the idea. You can go to the Music Show's webpage and find that SoundCloud and listen to any and all of those interviews.